Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Well, here we are again, another episode of Be Radiant Radio. Welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Today's program is called A Kick in the Teeth, which is based on a quote by Walt Disney. He said, "All the adversity I've had in my life, all my troubles and obstacles have strengthened me. You may not realize it when it happens, but a kick in the teeth may be the best thing in the world for you." Well, I, for one, have always appreciated that quote and the truth of it, because I think there's true value in finding meaning in the roadblocks and detours in life, the adversity you have. And whether it's a wake-up call to make an important change or something really dramatic that provides you with an opportunity to put the wisdom and the skills you've gained up until now into practice, I mean, I think adversity can really be useful if you know how to take advantage of it when it happens. And in this episode, we'll talk about lessons learned from adversity. And last time in Unleash Your Potential, we kind of skittered around the surface of this topic. And today I want to go deeper and I want to talk about the power of reframing your experiences and what happens when you do. But first off, let's look at others who've done what I'm talking about. I mean, for example, do you know anything about Walt Disney's story? Did you know that he was once fired by a newspaper editor? The editor said he had no good ideas. And later, he started a small company called Laugh-O-Grams, which eventually went bankrupt. When he headed off to Hollywood to start over, he had only his suitcase, $20 in his pocket, a dream, and a mouse cartoon character. So talk about taking, you know, a dream and adversity and turning it around. Another really inspiring story of someone taking adversity and using it to their advantage is the story of an artist. I'm not sure you've heard of him, but his name is Tommy Hollenstein, and first came to my attention when I was checking out Darren Kagan's website, and she had a story about him. He wanted to be an artist since he was a kid. However, when he broke his neck in a mountain biking accident in 1985, he had no idea that he was going to be able to use his tragedy, and it would lead to his dreams coming true, because what Tommy does is he creates art with his wheelchair. His beautiful abstracts, and they are gorgeous. They've attracted much attention, and his art is shown in galleries all over the world now. So talk about making lemonade out of lemons. And then there's the story of Alex Zanardi. I don't know if you've heard of him, but back in the mid-'80s, I became a fan of open-wheel car racing. Specifically, I was a fan of the CART series until it later merged with the Indy Racing League. And in 2001, it was still called CART. And in 2001, two-time CART champion and Formula One racing driver Alex Zanardi, he lost both of his legs and almost lost his life in a race in Berlin, Germany. He had to be resuscitated three times that day after the accident, and he was in a coma for about a week, and fought his way back to good health. He got fitted with prosthetics for both legs, and he found a way to drive again. And about a year and a half later, in 2003, he returned to the Berlin track where this real tragic accident had occurred, and he finished the remaining 13 laps of his race from 2001. And I remember standing in my living room. I mean, there's no way I could sit down for this, right? I mean, I have goosebumps telling you about it right now. Tears were streaming down my face. I was so happy. I was so moved by this man's bravery at getting back on the track where this really horrific accident had happened. You can find the video of it on the internet. It's horrific. And he finished his laps. And what's really cool about it is that he broke a record that day for the fastest disabled person ever. So, you know, Zanardi, he later went on after this. I mean, he finished this out in 2003, and then he didn't stop race car driving. He went and competed in other car racing series in Europe. He got companies to sponsor him to fit out his race car drivers with special equipment so he could race. And he keeps on doing impressive things with his disability to this day. He was named one of the Men of the Year in 2012 by Top Gear. And he represented his country, Italy, in the London Paralympics. He won gold and silver medals in hand cycling.
And he did the, get this, he did the 2014 Ironman World Championship, and he ranked 272 overall and 19th out of 247 in his age category. And he did this just before his 48th birthday. He used a hand bike for the cycling part and a wheelchair for the running section. Needless to say, Alex Zanardi has been an inspiration to me, obviously, and to the disabled community. He's helped pave the way for rule changes in race car driving and to accommodate disabilities, and he pushed inventors to come up with for ways for him to compete and carry on like the incredible athlete he is. He used his adversity to his advantage, and he continues to make this meaningful mark on the world. I followed him for years, obviously, seeing his interviews, reading his book, and I can tell you that this man has a genuine exuberance and a passion for life and his family that adversity has not quenched, has not put out. I mean, he still has a bright fire. And I'm telling you, this story is just, and the story about Walt Disney and the story about Tommy Holland, I mean, we could go on and on with stories that show how adversity can really strengthen you, how you can use adversity to your advantage like these people did. But maybe you're still wondering about how to find meaning in your own adversity, and because, you know, when you're close to it, it's hard to see it. And in my book, The Day You Find Out Why, I go into this concept pretty thoroughly. I just today, though, I want to share some of the main points, and I want to begin by looking at what other great minds have taught us. I'm specifically thinking of two great minds, Miguel Ruiz and what he taught me, and then what Viktor Frankl said, too. You know, when your adversity comes from what other people are doing, when, you know, a friend, a lover, a family member, they hurt you, or an employer gives you a bad review, or worse, your employer fires you, all of those kinds of things that you have to deal with, the things that others do to you to create roadblocks and give you a kick in the teeth, I would say you should turn to this wonderful piece of wisdom from Miguel Ruiz in his book, The Four Agreements. In his, this, I call it a gem of a little book. It's a wonderful little book with The Four Agreements. If you've not seen it, you need to check it out. Ruiz advises us not to take things personally. That is this key wisdom that I think is so crucial in helping you to understand how to use adversity. Because what he says about it, he says, nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. Because he says that we all live in a dream and this kind of illusion of what we see our life as, you know, because we're so close to it and we're in it. So when you, he says, when you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. And it is needless suffering, of course, if you are buying into what someone else says because it's really a projection of what they think everything is going on. You know, and then they probably even know how to press your buttons, but that's not the point. The reason they're pressing the buttons is just because something that has to do with them, that has a, they have a need in themselves to press your buttons. Not because of you, but because of the need in them to do it. Now, let me tell you, at first, though, when I read Ruiz's suggestion that I shouldn't take things personally, I thought, you've got to be kidding. I wondered what he meant by nothing others do is because of you, and that we should all be immune to the opinions and actions of others. I mean, how hard is that? It's really hard to try to not, you know, be affected. When someone is beating you, molesting you, firing you from your job, criticizing you, I mean, it's hard to be immune and not take it personally. And I've been through all of those things in my life and more. But, you know, finally I got it. It took me years, but I finally got it. And this knowledge has been profound to my life and how I have coped with and dealt with adversity. Ruiz talks about the value of, you know, taking the adversity that you get from others, the what people do to you, because they act, he says, they act like mirrors, and it serves us. And he uses this comparison of the mirror in his book, the Four Agreements companion book. So it's the companion book that goes with the Four Agreements. And he has this passage that is just, it just kind of etched on my mind. I think it's really, encapsulates exactly what we're trying to say here about how adversity can come from other people, but it's really not personal. It's something that can trigger something in you, and you can cope with it. So here's what he says. He says, whoever crosses you becomes the best mirror, the best way for you to measure your own evolution. You don't know how well you're doing before you have the challenge. When it's just yourself, it's hard to see. You can think you're doing so well, and you can go to an ashram and stay there for 5 years. Maybe you meditate and spend 5 years not eating meat, not having sex, and doing other things to transform your life. You feel very good about yourself, and then someone comes and crosses you, and boom, you need another 5 years in that ashram. So, you know, sometimes our greatest adversity is coming from ourselves, right? I mean, because we have this mirror of relationship and we are causing our own adversity because of the fact that we are reacting. We can control our reaction, but we're reacting to what the other person is showing us. So, wow, all that adversity, right? And I think it can definitely act as a mirror to us, too. So we can actually test our strengths and we can gauge our personal growth. So if you continue to practice this, don't take things personally, for instance, and you practice it until eventually it becomes easier and easier, then you can actually have the adversity that comes along and tests how well are you doing in this, how well have you come along on this journey of working with don't take things personally. So that's just some food for thought there. Now, I also said there's another great mind I draw from, and that I just so admire the work of Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian neurologist. He was a psychiatrist and a World War II Holocaust survivor. And after the war, he wrote and lectured extensively. He had spent 3 years in concentration camps. And in one of his most famous books, Man's Search for Meaning, He said that the meaning of life is found in every moment, even in suffering and death. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, that is... And he said it this way, if there is meaning in life at all, then there must be meaning in suffering. And I was just blown away by that because, to me, he is validating what I've always sensed, which is that there's meaning in our adversity, there's meaning in our suffering. And, of course, if we can find that meaning and reframe it, then we are that further along ahead in the game. We can really act in more empowerment and take the control over how we react to things. So if we find that meaning, it just makes it so much, I think, easier. So are you getting a sense of how you can find meaning in your adversity? Would you like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how you can find meaning in adversity. And I think the best way to do that is I'll give you an example. This is an example from my own life. And let me tell you, I've had ample opportunities to deal with adversity, but one big one that I had was when I got fired from my job in 1998. And I had been there for 11 months at that company. I'd been trying to stick it out, even though I knew it in my bones, like 2 months after I started there, oops, I had made a bad decision. This was not the best company, best role for me, oops. But you know, it took me 11 months before I actually said, okay, I'm ready to admit defeat. I'm going to give up. I'm going to move on. But the regional manager acted first and fired me, gave me 2 weeks severance, but did that before I could quit. And even though I had been miserable there, I was still crushed about being terminated. I was angry that I wasn't the one in control of my exit. How dare she let me go? I took it personally, and it was an excruciating experience. I suffered greatly. And the effects on my self-esteem, it lingered for a long time. Now, fast forward several years later, yes, it took me like years to figure out how to find the meaning in the adversity, but fortunately these days, because I've practiced this so much, I can do it much faster. It's like what they say, you know, practice makes you better at stuff, right? So anyway, I look back on this experience years later, and I'm looking at it with no regrets, and I'm even happy I went through it. Why? Because of what it taught me, because I found the meaning out of the adversity. First of all, I learned what not to do. I especially learned to not stick with something I don't love doing, and if it doesn't fit, don't put up with it. Life is too short, right? So that was the big major thing I learned from that. And then secondly, I learned how to have more empathy for people who were laid off or fired. You see, I was a recruiter. And I had this kind of mindset that if you get fired, yeah, you're probably not a very good hire because you've been fired before. But, of course, through my own experience, I learned that good people get terminated all the time, and actually sometimes it's the best thing that could happen to a person. I mean, for me it was. After this, I went to go work for a wonderful manager in a job that was tailor-made for my strengths, and I stayed there for 8 years. So talk about turning it around, right? So very fortunate that way. Another thing that came out of that was, and it was a very important thing, it was this kind of necessary, the experience was like a necessary catalyst for me in my work, of bringing me to where I am today in my work advising others in their career path, because I am so motivated and so passionate about advising people not to settle for less than what they want and they deserve. If they want to take something that is less than what they want, that it needs to be a strategic move. So I really, the experience made me better at my profession. And this is kind of a side benefit. It sparked a wonderful friendship with a really great person who had left that toxic company before I did. So she didn't get fired. I got fired, but she left before I did. And we lost track of each other until we reconnected a year later by, you know, putting this in quotes here, accident. Little did we know that we were working in the same building for different employers, but we were working in the same building, and we bumped into each other in the lobby one day. She said, "Oh my gosh, you work here." So we reconnected, and she has remained a really dear friend, one of my best friends, and a blessing in my life to this day. So here's a shout out to Deb. Love you, girlfriend. So you see, that's an experience of how what I've gone through and how you can take this adversity, and then you find the things that you can pull out of it and say, you know what, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't know these things. Okay, this is a great spot to take a little break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the specific ways you can use adversity to your advantage. And I want you to look at adversity, the adversity that you're dealing with, and I want you to get something positive out of it. So that's what we're going to talk about, and I'll have some specific strategies for you to do that. So for your listening pleasure, though, here's some lovely Celtic-style music that I think you'll enjoy, and I'll talk with you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Nice. That was a nice break with a sweet little tune from Kevin MacLeod. Ooh, I really needed that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Be Radiant Radio, and let's resume talking about today's topic, a kick in the teeth. And, you know, let's specifically talk about what we can do to use a kick in the teeth when it happens. Of course, you've probably heard the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Since I live in the land of Tex-Mex in Austin, Texas, I like to say instead of turn lemons into lemonade, I like to say turn limes into margaritas. So add a little tequila if you like, or go with a virgin margarita. But I like that. Really, though, how do we make sense of it? You can do the alternative and just let life happen to you, let the sour things just stay sour. But this is more than, what we're going to talk about is more than just adding a little artificial sweetener and saying you're trying to be positive about something awful going on. I mean, in fact, about positive thinking, Dr. Barbara Fredrickson, who studies positive psychology, and she wrote the book Positivity, she says that it's actually not a good idea to try and eliminate all negative emotions. So, you know, even though I'm big on let's talk and think positive, this is a fact. The research shows that it's not possible anyway to eliminate all negative emotions, and that the ideal positivity ratio, is what she calls it, is 3-1, which means you must experience 3 or more heartfelt positive emotions for every 1 heart-wrenching negative emotions that you endure. So you know you're going to have, you know, negative emotions. So you've got to try to have 3 good ones, 3 positive ones. So it's not about eliminating negative emotions. It's about having more positive emotions to try to balance that and get to that ratio. So if you don't want to take every lemon and add sweetener, if you want to sit back and suck on the sour lemon juice for a little bit, I mean, that's okay. As long as you balance it with, you know, that you're experiencing more feelings of the feeling good on the whole. Remember that the key, actually, to achieving that ratio is that your positive emotions have to be heartfelt and sincere. So this is not about faking it, all right? The lemons are going to happen. A kick in the teeth is going to happen. It's what you do with them that matters, okay? And you know what? That's where reframing comes in. That's what we're going to talk about next. My friend and colleague, Tom Cassidy, he's been on the program before, he likes to talk about reframing in the context of quantum mechanics. He has this master's in physics, and so he's a science guy, and he likes to talk about things in terms of quantum physics. He calls what, there's a tool he uses or a context he puts this in, and he likes to call it the QMR or the quantum mechanics reframer. And I interviewed him about it back in 2002, and you can check out the link to the video in the resource section. In the video, Tom talks about cultivating the ability to reframe external events and how we relate to them. So he talks about that process and how it relates to quantum mechanics. It's kind of interesting. Another tool you can use is one that I've already mentioned in my program, Unleash Your Potential, the 3 R's. And I provided a link to check it out, and I'll add the link again to the resource section here too. I want to run through the exercise with you. That's what I want to do right now, today. So the 3 R's, the reason I call them 3 R's is because there's 3 activities you do: reflect, release, and reframe. So the goal is to, at the end, to reframe it. So the first part is reflecting. That's clearly just looking at what is bothering you, what's the kick in the teeth that you're going through or that you've gone through. You want to write it down, because I really am a big believer in then writing these things down, getting them out of your head where they're pinging and messing with you, and getting them out of your mind into the paper in front of you. Something about putting it into 3D in front of you on a piece of paper, that's powerful. So do that. And many of my clients, they prefer to use a guided format. So if they don't want to just write it in free form, they might use a guided format that I can provide them. It's a more general approach, but it can help with getting them started. And what you do is you finish sentences with the first thought that comes to your mind, and the sentence triggers might be things like, I am sad about, or I'm angry about, I'm fearful about, regretful about, worried about, frustrated about, and so on. And you'll see those. If you look at the link, you'll see those trigger questions or trigger fill-in-the-blank statements. And then the second part, the second R, is release. And you think you may want to release this after you reframe it, but I tell you, I think it's very important to put the negative emotions into perspective, be reflective about them, and then release them before you reframe them. So this is a very specific specific order that I have it in, and you'll see why. So in the release section, you take what you've just written down, and see, this is another reason why it's very important not to just sit there and, you know, stare out the window and, you know, think about the things that are bothering you. It's actually important to put them down on paper, because what you're going to do now is you're going to shred that piece of paper. You could burn it. You could just take it out to the barbecue pit and make a fire and burn it. Or you can just wad it up and toss it out with the trash, whatever you need to actually physically take that and throw it away, get rid of it. Then take a deep breath, exhale, and let it go. So releasing it. And then the third R is about reframing. And there are two basic steps in this part of the three R's. And the step one is you want to take note of what is helping you to move forward. This is a future focus methodology of dealing with adversity. When Viktor Frankl was in the concentration camps, he found that those with a future focus survived physically and emotionally much better than those who couldn't see what they were going to do beyond the experience they were in. And so he incorporated this future-oriented system as part of the therapeutic approach that he developed after the war called logotherapy. Anyway, you can do this part either using the nonstop kind of writing it down, stream of consciousness writing, or you can simply follow, you know, finish the sentences. I'm excited about things have been better ever since, blank. I can clearly see blank happening next, et cetera. So you have this kind of future focus. And then step two is you examine what it is that you learned or you gained from the experience. And this is the actual reframing part. When you see, it's like, okay, this is where you're going to find and identify the meaning of this adversity you've been in. So, again, just write it down, sort of like my list that I came up with earlier about what good came out of getting fired. So you can choose to fill in the blanks of sentences, too. In this particular case, you can say, I have learned blank from, and then you can state the experience. Or you can say, I have gained blank from the experience. Now, for me, personally, I've been actively using reframing for months in dealing with a major kick in the teeth that I went through in 2014, one of the hardest kicks I've ever had in my life, much harder than getting fired, actually. And that's the ending of my marriage. It was also the end of a friendship. I mean, our friendship had spanned 30 years. First, we were friends for a couple of years, and then we became romantically involved. We started dating in 1986. We tied the knot in 1988. We gave birth to our awesome daughter in 1993. And he decided he wanted out, and we divorced in 2014. So one of the most critical thoughts that I've been working on reframing and the adversity of this whole thing is going from thinking he rejected me to he released me when he ended the relationship. And that's a huge reframing process for me. And I think, you know, reframing is a practice that I know eventually leads to is the future focus goal. Again, acceptance is the final stage of grief, and it's also absolutely necessary for forgiveness to happen. And, you know, what about you? What kick in the teeth are you dealing with? How can you reframe it? What future focus goal are you aiming for that you can use to stay committed to reframing it in a more helpful way? I mean, try it. It will help you to increase your positivity ratio to the more an ideal 3-to-1. And if you have some past adversity, a past kick in the teeth bothering you, I mean, it's still sticking around, it's gnawing at you, it's unforgiven, it's unresolved, whatever the state of incompleteness is in, what meaning or lessons can you get out of it that can help you reframe it? All right, that's a wrap for today. I can't believe how incredibly fast 30 minutes goes. I've really enjoyed discussing this topic with you, and as you can probably tell, it's near and dear to my heart. So join me next time. It's on February 1. That we'll talk about another favorite topic of mine. It's what my third book, The Day You Find Out Why, is all about. So be sure to tune in, because I'll be giving you my best tips for discovering your uniqueness and life purpose so you can bring who you really are to what you do in life. Again, thanks for tuning in for the program. I want to thank Doom Dance and Kevin McLeod for our music, and be sure to check out the links on the webpage for these musicians and other resources about today's topic. So I look forward to talking to you soon, and in the meantime, be well and shine on.